Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Hei, starting a few seconds early because there are a lot of sponsors. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Sponsored also Lizchus Rufus Shlema from Meir Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. Also sponsored by friends of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbin in commemoration of his first yahrzeit, Harav Baruch Tzvi Ben Ruvei Nassen Zichrono Livracha. His yahrzeit is today and Shamash Evan Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Rosie and Mark Friedman, Li'il Nishmas Mark's mother, Rebbetzin Adelaide Friedman, whose first yahrzeit was the 5th of Av. It's also sponsored by Ann Hornblass and Chani and JJ Hornblass and their children in commemoration of the second yahrzeit of their husband, father, and grandfather, Jerome Hornblass, Yaakov Ben Moshe, whose yahrzeit is today, the Nisham Shevin Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Isaac Enten in memory of Mr. Robert Enten, Reuven Michal Ben Yitzchak, Alav Hashalom, whose yahrzeit is today, also the Nisham Shevin Aliyah, and by Shragi Bril, Le'ili Nishmas's mother, Chaya Fega, Basarav Yona Leib HaKohen, Nisham Shevin Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on to Kuf Mem Hey Amid Aleph. We already got onto the page. We are at Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Kitana'i, four lines into the page. The Gemara is going to quote a machlokas tanayim whether grape juice that's squeezed onto the top of bread is machshir lekabel tuma, and we're going to have three different explanations of that machlokas tanayim. And then we're going to discuss squeezing out the juices of a fish from a fish, squeezing out the vegetable juices from a vegetable that has been pickled or that has been soaked, and whether that's a violation on Shabbos. We're also going to discuss when do we accept testimony that is hearsay, when do we allow for testimony that's hearsay. Most of the time we do not, obviously. Ed Mipia is a problem, but what are the exceptions to the rule? Then right before the Mishnah on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss liquids that ooze out of chalos tavash and from fruits. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to tell us the principle, without saying these words, but the famous principle of ein bishul achar bishul, that once something is cooked, it is no longer a violation of bishul to cook it further. And also the concept of Iri Kli Rishon perhaps appears in that Mishnah as well. And then the daf is going to end with a series of four questions, Agadita, about four questions about differences between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, and two different sets of answers to those four questions. I should mention that tomorrow, being Tisha B'Av, there's no daf Yomishir in the morning, obviously, on Tisha B'Av, so I think we're going to do a Zoom daf on Motzai Tisha B'Av at 10 o'clock for anyone who's up for it after Tisha B'Av at 10 o'clock, Be'ezras Hashem. That's Eastern Standard, whatever time we're on. That's New York time, 10 o'clock, Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow evening. So just wanted to inform everybody of that. Okay, so let's begin. We are holding four lines from the top of the page on Daf Kuf Mem Hei, Amud Aleph. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Kitana'i, that this is in fact a Machlokas Tana'im, meaning this issue, whether Mashke that comes to help a food, that it comes to be Masakin and Ochel, whether it has a din of a food or it has a din of a mashke, is in fact a machlokas tanaim, because there is a Mishnah in Maseches Maisros that says as follows: Hamachlik ba'anovim, if a person squeezes some grape juice on top of loaves of bread, why in the world would someone do that? So the Ramban writes it prevents the crust of the bread from burning. When it burns off the juices that are on top, that are on the surface of the bread, it will prevent the actual crust of the bread from burning. The Rashba says, no, it's a glean, a shine on the bread. It makes the bread look more attractive. So if someone is machlik ba'anavim, they just put some grape juice on the surface of the bread, lo huchshar. That grape juice does not have the capacity to be machshir lekabel tuma. Neither the bread nor the grapes are huchshir lekabel tuma. Rabbi Yehuda omer huchshar. Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, they are huchshir lekabel tuma. Both the bread and the grapes are huchshir lekabel tuma. Tosfos Rid explains within Shitas Rashi that this machlokas, whether it's huchshar or not huchshar, is about not only the grapes but the bread as well. That we have a machlokas whether it's huchshar lekabel tuma or not huchshar lekabel tuma. So ask the Tosfos Rid, wait a second, the bread? Of course the bread is huchshar lekabel tuma. It's come into contact with water. Anything that's come into contact with one of the Zayin Mashkin is of course huchshar lekabel tuma. Bread is made by mixing flour and water and kneading them together. So of course, the bread is huchshar lekabel tuma. So says the Tosfos Rid, we must be talking about mizonos rolls. We must be talking about bread that it was kneaded with made peiros. It was not kneaded with water, and therefore is not huchshar lekabel tuma. The Marshal, however, says that no, since generally they knead bread with water, of course this bread is huchshar lekabel tuma. And the whole shaila in this Mishnah of whether something is Ukshar or not Ukshar is only about the grapes that the grape juice was squeezed out of. But there's no doubt that the bread itself is Ukshar Lekabel Tumah, and that's why it didn't just say that you put wine on the surface of the bread. It said that you're Machlik Anovim. That's why we mention the grapes in the discussion, because it's all about the grapes. So what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas, whether that juice that comes out of the grapes that you're only intending to shine the bread with, whether that's machshel kabel tumah or not? So my lav ba kamifli, isn't this the very machlokas? The mar savar mashka bal yochel ochel hu, umar savar lav ochel hu. That it's a machlokas when a juice is being squeezed out of fruit for the sole purpose of benefiting a food. Does it now have the status of a food, or does it no still have the status of a mashka and therefore have the ability to be machshel kabel tumah? That is one explanation of this machlokas. Amar Rav Papa, dekuli amar mashka bal yochel lav ochel hu. No, I'll tell you, everyone holds that mashka bal yochel is not an ochel, that it absolutely has a din of a mashka. Aye, what then are they arguing about? Vahacha b'mashka bal ibud kamiflagi. They're talking about squeezing out grapes on loaves of bread that are about to be baked in the oven, and therefore, obviously, all that juice is going to be holich li'ibud. It's going to evaporate in the heat of the oven. So when you have a mashka that you're squeezing out knowing that it's going being holich li'ibud, so what's its status? Mar savers Rabbi Yehuda holds that mashka that's holich li'ibud, mashka hu, still has the status of mashka. Umar savers la mashka hu, whereas the Tanakama holds that no, since it's holich li'ibud, it's not a mashka. Ubiplupta da'ani tanoi. And this machlokas is the same as the following machlokas. Titania mefatzeh b'zeisim b'yadayim misawavos. If a person crushes olives softens olives with tummy hands in order to soften them, that the shemen should come out a little bit and moisten the olives, hukshar. The olives become hukshar lekabel tumah because he wants them to become moist from the shemen that's in them, because that's going to add to the flavor. But l'sofsan b'melach, if his plan is to then to dip those olives in salt and have them softened by the salt itself, by the salt attaching itself to the olives, lo hukshar, then the zeisim are not hukshar lekabel tumah, because he's not happy with the yitzias hashemen. But leida im higiu zeisav limsokim lav, if the reason he's squeezing these olives is to be able to figure out whether they're ready to be squeezed, whether they're ready for the olive press or not, lo hukshar, Rabbi Yehuda mer hukshar. Then you have machlokas. Tanakama says not hukshar lekabel tumah. Rabbi Yehuda says it is hukshar lekabel tumah. What's that machlokas about? When you squeeze just a little juice out of an olive to be able to see whether it's ripe, whether it's ready to be used for oil making. So my labaka miflgi, isn't this the very same machlokas? The mar savar mashka omed liibud mashkehu. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that a mashka that you know is being holich liibud is still called a mashke, and therefore it's going to be able to be machshir the olive to be mekabel tumu. Mar savar la mashkehu, and the Tanakhama says it's not a mashke, and therefore it's not machshir the olive to be mekabel tumu. The same exact machlokas that Rav Papa suggests is the machlokas when you squeeze the grape juice onto the breads. You know that it's holich liibud. You know that it's about to be gone. It's about to be put in the oven. Is it a mashke or is it not a mashke? So that same machlokas, the way Rav Papa interprets the machlokas about the grape juice, that same machlokas appears when it comes to the olives. Amrav Huna Bred Yevashua Hani Tanai B'mashka Omed Liibud Pligi. That these Tanaim in the Brisa about the olives, you're right, they're arguing about a mashka Omed Liibud. But Vahanach Tanai, but you got it wrong in explaining the Mishnah about the grape juice that's squeezed onto breads. That's not about mashka that's holich li'ibud, because the mashka that comes out of the grapes are not holich li'ibud. They're actually serving a purpose. They're shining the tops of the loaves. The mashka omed l'tzach tzichol kamiflagi. A third explanation of the machlokas. The machlokas is that really maybe everybody holds that a mashka that's coming to be misakin in ochel has a din of a mashka. But that's only when it serves as a mashka, like something that you would swallow with a food, or you would dip a food into, it helps wash down the food. But when the entire purpose of the mashka is only to give a nice look to the food, to shine the food, that's a machlokas, whether it's dino kemashka or it's not dino kemashka. So we had this machlokas, when you squeeze grapes directly onto a surface of the bread, what is the halacha? Is it makshir the grape to be mekabel tumah or not? Three explanations of the machlokas. Explanation number one is, they're arguing whether a mashka that goes directly into food has a din of a mashka. Machlokas number two is whether they're arguing whether a mashka that's holy. Explanation number two is they're arguing whether a mashka that's holy chli ibud has a din of a mashka. And explanation number three is they're arguing whether a mashka whose sole function is to provide a certain look to the food has a din of a mashka or not the din of a mashka. Good. So now the Gemara moves on. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav. Sochet adam eshkol shalanavim l'tocha kadeira. A person can squeeze a cluster of grapes into a pot that has food in it because the mashka is coming directly into the food. It's becoming part of the food. Avlo l'tocha. So therefore, it's not a violation of mefarek on Shabbos. Avlo l'tocha kara, but not into a plate. Dag l'tziro afilu l'tocha kara, and you could squeeze a fish for the fish juice that's in it even into a ka'ara, because the tzir is not a mashke, it's only an ochel. So yes, Rav Dimi v'kamer lo l'shmaita, Rav Dimi was saying over this teaching about squeezing a fish for its fish brine in the name of Rav. Samle abay l'Rav Dimi, atun m'shmeid Rav masninun, you taught this in the name of Rav, lo kashalachu, and therefore you didn't have a problem with it. But you should know, anan m'shmeid Shmuel masninullah, I was taught that same halacha, but in the name of Shmuel, and therefore v'kashalan, therefore I knew that I have a problem. Why is it a problem if it's taught in the name of Shmuel? Because miyom or Shmuel, dag l'tziro afil l'toch ha-ka'ara. Does Shmuel hold that you're really allowed to squeeze fish juice even into a ka'ara? Va'itmar, but didn't we learn that kavashim, if you have you have vegetables that have been pickled, sheschatan, that you then squeeze out some of the brine, some of the pickling juice, that amarav l'gufan, if you squeeze them out in order to be able to eat the pickles themselves, then mutter, then you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. But l'meimein, if you squeeze them out because you want the pickle juice that's in those pickles, then pater, it's pater avalasar, it's not mefarik mamish, because the rotav is not really part of the juices that you're squeezing out, are not really part of the fruit. They were just part of the pickling juice that got absorbed in the fruit, but it's avalasar, it's also to do some midrabanan, lest you come to squeeze out seisim v'anavim. Ushlakos, and if you have vegetables that were slow cooked in water, beilugufan, beilumimehen, mutter, whether you're squeezing it out for the vegetable, or whether you're squeezing it out for the juices that are coming out of the vegetable, either way it's going to be mutter. Why would shlakos be any different than pickles? So that's the Achronim explain that shlakos are more lenient than pickles, because shlakos are vegetables that are cooked in water, and through that the vegetables are really softened to the point that when you squeeze them out, some of the yirakos come out as well. So it's being mafrid ochel me'ochel. What you're separating is not only a mashka from the ochel, but some of like the guts of the vegetable, so to speak, will come out as well when you squeeze it out, because it's been so softened, and therefore you're getting ochel out of the ochel. You're not only getting mashke out of the ochel, as opposed to when you have a pickle and you squeeze it out, the only thing that comes out are the juices, and that's why that's going to be pater avalaser. Ushmuel amar, but Shmuel had said, and here's the key line: echad kvashim v'echad shlakos l'gufan mutter l'meimein pater avalaser. That if you're squeezing it out in order to eat the vegetable, then it's mutter. But if you're squeezing it out in order to access the mayim of the vegetable, then it's pater avalaser. So but schitas dug to squeeze out a fish for its brine that when the fish that it was cooked in is very similar to squeezing out the liquid from the shlakos that the shlakos were cooked in. So why is it that Shmuel asers it by shlakos and by a fish he has no problem? He says that it's mutter. So again, if you have this teaching about squeezing out the fish brine in the name of Rav, you don't have a stira, because Rav never said otherwise when it came to shlakos. But if you're going to say it in the name of Shmuel, then you have a stira, because Shmuel said otherwise when it came to shlakos, a stira in Shmuel. So Rav Dimi said to Abaye, Ha'elokim, a lashon of a shvua, Ein I ro uvelozar, I saw it with my own eyes that this is in the name of Rav and it's not in the name of Shmuel. What does he mean he saw it with his own eyes? Mipume de Rabbi Yirmiyah Shmili, because I heard it in the name of Rav from Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah from Rabbi Zeiran, Rabbi Yirmiyah from Rabbi Zeiran, Rabbi Zeiran from Rabbi Chiya Barashi, and Rabbi Zeiran heard from Rabbi Chiya Barashi, Rabbi Chiya Barashi from Rav, and Rabbi Chiya Barashi heard it from Rav. So I can trace back my Masorah in Torah learning all the way back to Rav, Ishmi Piyish, and that's seeing it with my own eyes. It's an amazing concept that we call that seeing saying he took a shavua that he saw it with his own eyes. He never met Rav. He didn't see anything with his own eyes. But that's how much a person's belief in the Mesoras HaTorah, when a person has a strong Mesorah, that they're able to take a shavua that they saw with their own eyes. Why? Because my Rebbe said in the name of his Rebbe, this is the concept that the Rambam describes in Akdam to Pirshim Shnayis of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, you never have a machlokas, and we are absolutely certain of its validity because it went down ish mi pi ish mi pi ish. It went down throughout all of the generations as critical part of Torah Baal Peh. It is fascinating, though, a number of the Achronim don't seem to learn this Gemara to be specifically about a Mesoras HaTorah, that it's that just when you trust somebody, there's a question: can you take a shavua that you saw, that you know something to be true, when you only know it from edus of other people, when you only know it because other people said that it's true, people that you happen to trust said that it's true? There's a wild tshuva in the Chavos Ya'ir, in Siman Kuf Pei Beis, in Chavos Ya'ir, where the Chavos Ya'ir discusses the following case: that Reuven and Shimon were traveling from Frankfurt to Vermeish, and they were and in Frankfurt there was a woman who needed to travel to the same place, and she had a single daughter with her, and they wanted to travel. The problem is they didn't have visas, they didn't have entry visas to get to the place that they were traveling to. But Reuven and Shimon each had an entry visa that said that they're permitted to travel with their whole family, with their wife and children. They weren't related to this woman. They had no connection to it, but they wanted to do a chesed. So he said, you can come along and we'll pretend that you're our wife and children. We'll be able to get through. The guard stops them. This is all in Shuvas Chavos Ya'ir. The guard stops them and the guard says to them, the guard looks at the ages of the people. You know, Reuven's like, this is my wife. Meanwhile, she's 25 years older than him. She's obviously much, much older. And this is my daughter. She's like 5 years younger than him. Like, it doesn't make any sense. The guard is very suspicious of this whole thing. So the guard, knowing a little bit of Jewish practice, so he says, yeah, that's your wife, give her and that's your daughter, give them a hug and a kiss, and we'll see if it's your wife and your daughter. So the quick thinking, he said, they're nidas, I can't, because my wife is a nida, I'm not able to. So he said, swear to it. So the woman said, I taka am a nida. You know, she said, it's actually true. So Shaila is, can he swear to it based on the fact, based on her say-so? So this is what the Achronim quote. Maybe, based on our Gemara, if you actually trust a person when they say something, maybe you can swear to it that it's here you have a Lashon Shvua. Hello, Kim, says Rav Dimita Abaye. Why? Because I know it's true, because my Rebbe told me that it's true, and his Rebbe told him, and his Rebbe told him, all the way back to Rav. So that's the Raya that they bring, a wild, wild case. Okay, so Gufa, back to our discussion. Kavashim Sheschatan, if you squeeze out pickled vegetables, Amarav, the Gufan Mutter, the Meme and Patra Velasser. If you're squeezing them out because you want to eat the pickle and you just don't want it to squirt all over the place, so you squeeze it out in advance, so then it's going to be Mutter. But the Meme and it's Patra Velasser. If you're squeezing it out because you want the juice that's inside the pickle, so then it's Patra Velasser. Ushlakos, but slow cooked vegetables, Bain the Gufan, Bain the Meme and Mutter. Whether you're squeezing it out, Lugufan, or whether you're squeezing out for their Mayim, it's going to be mutter. That's Rav. But Shmuel Amar, Echodzeh, both Kvashim and Shlakos, Lugufan Mutter, the Meimehen, Patra Avalasri. You have that distinction between Lugufan and the Meimehen. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, a third Shita, Echod Kvashim, Echod Shlakos, agreeing that there's no difference between Kvashim and Shlakos, but that the halacha is Lugufan Mutter, the Meimehen, Chayev Chatos. That if you do it Lugufan, you want to eat the vegetable, that's Mutter, but if you're squeezing it out for the Mayim that's inside of it, that you're going to be Chayev Chatos. That's going to be an Issa Daraisa. Tosafot points out that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if you're soaking Kvashim and Shlakos for the Mayim that's contained therein, you're Chayev Chatos, it would turn out that if you squeeze out a fish for the fish brine, you're also Chayev Chatos, because the Gemara linked the two, right? That was the problem. That was the whole stira in Shmuel, that how could Shmuel say one thing about Kvashim and something else about the fish, about squeezing out the fish? So Tos says that the Gemara makes the equation. It would therefore turn out that you're Chayev Chatos when it comes to the fish as well. So ask the Prima Gadim, how could that possibly be true though? Because a fish is not Gidule Karka. And the Gemara says back on Daf Ayin Hey Amid Aleph that Ein Disha Ella Be Gidule Karka, that the Malacha of Dash is only violated with that which grows from the ground, and a fish does not grow from the ground. ground. So how could Tosfos say over here that that according to Rabbi Yochanan, just like you're chayev chatos for squeezing out the kvashim, you're going to be chayev chatos for squeezing out fish? That can't be. Fish is not kidulei karka. So the Chasam Sofer suggests a great chiddush, and he says the klal that ain't disha ela b'kidulei karka is only when you are separating two things that were created together as a single entity, one from inside the other, like to squeeze out the seeds that grew inside a stalk, or take mashka, to squeeze out the juices from grapes, that it was created inside of it, it developed inside of it. But if that which is found inside wasn't created inside, it came from externally, it came from outside, so then there's nisr disha, even if it's not b'gidulei karka. And therefore, by the fish and the fish brine, so the fish is not gidulei karka in a chinami, but the tzir doesn't come from the guf hadag. If it did come from the fish itself, then in chinami would not be nisr daraisa. But it came from the juices that the fish was cooked in, and that's why it would be nisr daraisa. But be that as it may, we have three shitos in Amoraim over here about how to view this halacha of squeezing out vegetables in two forms, in pickled form and in slow cooked form. And there are two factors. One factor is whether it's pickled or slow cooked, and the other factor is what your purpose in squeezing it out is, whether it's to eat it or whether it's to access the juices inside of it. So now the Gemara says, but I'll show you a brisa that goes against all three shitos Amoraim. Meisvei sotkin kvashim b'shabbos l'tzorach haShabbos, aval lo l'motzoi Shabbos. You're allowed to squeeze out pickled vegetables on Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos, but not if you're doing it for motzoi Shabbos. V'zeisim ha'anovim lo yischot v'imsachar chayev chatos. Oh, and by the way, you're not allowed to squeeze out olives and grapes, and if you do that, you're chayev chatos. But when it spoke about squeezing out kvashim, when it spoke about squeezing out pickles l'tzorach haShabbos, it didn't distinguish whether it's tzorach gufan or tzorach meimehem. It just said you're allowed to do it, and that's against everyone. Kashal the Rav, Kashal the Shmuel, both of them said you're not allowed to be sochet kvashim lemeimehem, and Kashal the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said not only you're not allowed to do it, you're chayv chatos for doing it. The only machlokas between Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan was whether it's nisa d'oraisa or nisa d'rabanan when you're sochet lemeimehem, when you're sochet kvashim lemeimehem. But no one said that it's mutter, and here you have a brisa that says that it's mutter. So says Gemara, each one is going to touch up the brisa by adding in a little explanation in between the words of the brisa that it's going to make the brisa conform to their shita. Rav mitaris tamei. Rav would read the brisa as follows in his way. Shmuel mitaris tamei. Rabbi Yochanan mitaris tamei. Rav mitaris tamei. How does Rav read the brisa according to him? That soften kvashim b'shabbos l'tzorach haShabbos avolo l'motzoi Shabbos. Like the brisa says, you could squeeze out kvashim on Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos, but not for the sake of motzoi Shabbos. But here's what he adds: ba'medvar mamurim legufan avol meimei and patra avol aser. When is it mutter? Only when you're squeezing it out because you want to eat the vegetable. But if you're squeezing it out for the mayim, then it's patra avol aser. Didn't say that explicitly in the brisa. That's interpretation that we have to add in. That's some commentary that we have to add in. Ushlakos bein legufan bein lemeimeyan mutter. But shlakos, whether you're doing it for the gufan, whether you're doing it for the meimeyan, it's mutter. V'zeisim anavim. Now back to the brisa. V'zeisim anavim lo yischot v'msatan chayiv chatos. Can't squeeze olives and grapes, and if you do, you chayiv chatos. Shmuel mataris tamei. Shmuel read the brisa with his commentary added in. Sochin kvashim b'shabbos tzorach haShabbos buhu hadin l'shlakos. You're allowed to be sochin kvashim on Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos, and shlakos also. But you also add in b'medvar mamurim legufan avl meimei and patar v'laser that it's only mutter if you're doing it to eat it, but not if you're doing it to access the juices inside of it. That's going to be also mitrabanan. V'zeisim anavim liyischot v'msach v'chayiv chatos. And zeisim anavim is going to be in the sedor raisa. And Rabbi Yochanan mataris tamei. Sochin kvashim tzorach haShabbos avl lemotzai Shabbos like the raisa says. Echot kvashim echot shlakos. That we add in that this is true not only of pickled vegetables but also of slow cooked vegetables. Medvar amurim, and we also add in that this is only true legufan. Avel meimeyan lo yischot v'msachat nasa kimi shesachat zeisim anav mechayiv chatos. Rabbi Yochanan actually has the end of the brisa fit into serve as a description or an example of the halacha leading up to it. That you're not allowed to squeeze out these vegetables limeimeyan because that's akin to squeezing out olives and grapes for their juices, which is the chi of chatos. So each amora is going to have the brisa conform to him in one way or the other. So now the Gemara goes back to the Shita of Rav about squeezing out kvashim and shlakos, and we're going to explain his logic. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, Dvar Torah Einu Chayiv Ela Al Drichas Zeisim Anavim Bilvad. Midar Raisa, you're only going to be Chayiv when you crush olives and grapes, because that's normal to do with them, and it's therefore considered a malacha. But other peiros, it's not darka bekach, so schit is not going to be considered a malacha on other peiros. V'chein tani the Beis Menashe, and that's what they taught in the Beis Medrash of Menashe as well. Dvar Torah nuchayv elal zricha seismanav v'vad. V'ein, and the second halacha, v'ein eid b'peid kosher ella eidus isha b'vad. That hearsay is never going to be kosher eidus unless it's about a woman whose husband disappeared, and you want to testify that her husband is dead, so that she won't be in Aguna, so the Chamor Mekel, that you could accept Eid Mipi Eid for such a thing. That hearsay is going to be acceptable for such a thing. Not sure what that's doing over here, why he has to mention that over here. It's a totally separate halacha. Rashi's bothered that Minat Torah, Nisha, the woman is still an Eishas Ish. So how could we, the Rabbanan, be Misakein, that we're going to accept Eid Mipi Eid Midaraisa? She's a married woman. So Rashi writes in Dibra Maskele Eidus that Kol HaMekadesh Adaita Drabbanan Mekadesh, everyone who does a Kiddushin says, Reha Mekadesh whatever Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. Kedas Moshe of Yisrael means that this Kiddushin is pending the approval of the Rabbanan. So if the Rabbanan were to ever to decide that it no longer meets with their approval, the Rabbanan could be Mafkia the Kiddushin, and that's the mechanism that they use to trust in Eid Mipiyed, to trust hearsay, to allow a woman to get remarried, because they're Mevata the Kiddushin with the first husband, the Mafreya. Asks the Rashba, if that's the case, then how come the Mishnah in Maseches Yevamos Daf Pei Zayin tells us that if a woman gets remarried based on Neid Echad or based on Eid Mipiyed, and she goes and gets remarried, and then the first husband comes home and we see that he's alive, that Teitze Mizeh Umizeh V'kol Adrach Me'eluba, we throw the book at her, we're machmir about everything, and we say she has to divorce both husbands? If we were mafkiyah the Kiddushin, there should be no problem with her being able to be married to the second husband. So the Rashba says, that the Rashba is quoted in the Shittim Gvetzis at the very beginning of Masechet Ksubas, that no, the Chamer mafkiyah the Kiddushin when she's Nises Alpiyed Echad, because we assume that Isha Daiku Mintzva, that a woman is going to do her own research and she's not going to get remarried until she knows in her heart with absolute certainty that her husband is dead. So if this woman goes and gets remarried and her husband comes home, she didn't do what we're relying on her to do responsibly, to have the absolute certainty that her husband is dead. So that's why we're going to say Kala Drachma Eluba. Okay, says Gemari Bayelu, this idea of Eid Mipiyed, of hearsay, Eid Mipiyed Leidus Bechor Mahu. What if you have a Bechor that has a mum? So you say, okay, good, so now it has a mum, so now you're allowed to use it for whatever you want, but you don't know if that mum was placed there purposely or not. Someone else told you it just happened, it wasn't placed there purposely, and therefore it's a valid mum. So can you trust hearsay? Can you trust what someone else tells you about that? So Rav Ami says, no, can't eat the Bechor because you can't be somich on such edus. Ravasi Shari and Ravasi says it's mutter. So Amle Rav Ami le Ravasi. Ravami says to Ravasi, how could you be mad? You're such a Bukhar. V'atam d'be Menashe, Eid Mipiyed kosher, Ella Eid Sishal Bulvad. Eid Mipiyed is only kosher to be matter in Aguna. It's not going to be kosher to be matter of Bukhar. So Eima le'edus she'isha k'shera la Bulvad. He says, no. The Tana means to say that we accept hearsay in those kinds of edus that a woman is allowed to testify about. So you could trust hearsay when it comes to Isurim. Eidach Hanem B'Isurim is even in Isha could be made. So we're going to trust hearsay when it comes to such edus. But it's not only about igun. It's not only about aguna. It's about anything that an isha would be trusted on. Frektus vasemes, it can only be about edus isha. The klal in the Gemara Maseches Gittin is edach anem bisurin. And whenever you have edach anem bisurin, ein mipiyed is neman. So what was even the havamina to ask the question? I mean, obviously, we always trust ein mipiyed for anything that's edach anem bisurin. So vasemes suggests that the reason by isurin and Eid Echad is Neman, and Eid Mipiyed is Neman, is because by Yisurin there's no Eidus in Beis Din. You don't need to go to Beis Din. You don't. You come home to eat dinner, and your wife is ready to serve you dinner, and you say, well, wait a second, is this food kosher? And she says, yes, it's kosher. You don't have to say, okay, I trust your Eidus. Eid Echad is Neman Yisurin, but you have to come to Beis Din to testify that. No, there's no going to Beis Din. She says, it's kosher. It's kosher. You're allowed to eat it. So the Chiddush over here is that to be Matir and Aguna, you need a Beis Din. And for Eidus Bechor, you need a Beis Din. Those are the only two cases where Eid Mipiyed is going to be trustworthy, even though the Eidos has to be given in Beis Din. Rabbi Yemar Akshar Eid Mipiyed LeBuchar. Rabbi Yemar allowed Eid Mipiyed for being Matir and Mum of a Buchar. Karyale Maremar, Yemar Shari Buchra. So Maremar mocked him that he's Yemar, the one who's being Matir Bucharos. Meaning, apparently, in the Gemara, there are a couple of places where it was not good to get the reputation of the one who's the big Matir. Right? The Gemara says the Beidina de Shara Mishkal was known as the Beis Din that was Matir, Shemen Akum. And they wanted to be Matir even more, but they were afraid that they'd get a reputation as a Beidina Sharia, as a Beis Din that's always Mekel, a Beis Din that's always Mekel on things. So you don't want to have that reputation. So this was a mockery. He was making fun of him. He says, you're Yemar Shari Bukhra. Vihilchasab, by the way, he's right. Eid Mipiyed, Kashal Bukhar. That Eid Mipiyed is acceptable for Eidus Bukhar. Okay, Chalos Tavash. If you have honeycombs that were crushed on Erev Shabbos, we learned in the Mishnah, and then honey is seeping out of them on Shabbos, Chum Asr eating such honey on Shabbos, and Rabbi Elazar is Matir. So Kiyasa, Rav Hoshaya Minar Da'a Savaisim Yasin Sabiyade, Rav Hoshaya came armed with a brisa that said as follows, Zeisim Anavim Shariskan Me'erev Shabbos V'yatsu Me'atzmon Asurin, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon Matirim, that if you have Zeisim and Anavim that were crushed from Erev Shabbos, and now on Shabbos some juices are oozing from them, so Tanakama says Asr, the Chum say Asr, you're not allowed to drink those juices, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are Matir. So the same thing, except instead of Chalos Tavash with the honey oozing from it, it's Zeisim V'Anavim with the juices oozing from the Zeisim V'Anavim, and the only thing that we change is instead of just Rabbi Elazar being Matir, now Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are Matir. So I'm Rabbi Yosef Kavri, he says, oh, Salash Minan, what's the big chiddush of this brisa? So all you did is you added another name of Tana who's Matir, that in addition to Rabbi Elazar being Matir, it's now Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, but it's exactly the same case. You know, one was with crushed honeycombs and the other was with crushed olives and grapes. It's exactly the same thing. No, you don't appreciate the difference between oozing honey and oozing olive and grape juice. If I would have learned the Shita from the Mishnah about Chalas Tavash, I would say, yeah, that's because it was food beforehand and it's food now. Tavash is not a mashke, it's a food. But over here by Zeisim V'Anavim, where originally it was a food and now it's a mashke, when it was still in the grape, when it was still in the olive, it was part of a food. But now that it's oozing out, it's a mashke. Say, Emelo, I would think he would not be Matir. And the juices would be asr. Gzeira Shami Yischot Biadayim. That Gzeira, you might come to squeeze out yourself and violate the Yisr of Dash. So, Kamash Malon, that's the great Chiddush of the Brisa. That even by Zeisim V'Anavim that are crushed up, Rabbi Elazar is going to allow the mitz, the juice that oozes out of them. Mishnah Berurah points out, even though we learned in the Mishnah a couple of days ago that the juice that flows out of Zeisim V'Anavim that is omid l'mashkel, the koladeos is asr b'shtia, over there we're talking about Zeisim V'Anavim that were fully intact, that were not yet crushed. So where if you were to squeeze them on Shabbos, you'd be chayiv chatos. So we go there on that which oozes out on their own. But over here, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sim Reishon and Beis, we're talking about where they were already crushed on Erev Shabbos. So even if you were to further squeeze them on Shabbos, you wouldn't be chayiv chatos. It would only be an Mr. Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan were not gozer on the juices that ooze out on their own, because what would the whole gezerah be? Lest you come to squeeze them out yourselves. Lest you come to actively squeeze them. Even if you actively squeeze them, in this case it would only be an Mr. Rabbanan, so we don't have any such concern. Period. Now we move on to the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, this Mishnah formulates probably the most famous, one of the most famous rules in all of Hilchas Shabbos, but the most famous rule in all of Hilchas Bishul B'Shabbos, but doesn't say it in the way that we know it. Kol Shabbat B'Chamin, the way the Mishnah formulates it is, any food that was already cooked, babbechamin, we assume Rashi says it means already cooked before Me'erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, shorinos babbechamin b'Shabbos. You're allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbos to re-cook it. This is the principle known as ein bishul achar bishul. If something was already cooked before Shabbos, by cooking it up again on Shabbos, it is not a violation of the melacha of bishul on Shabbos. There is a machlokas rishonim, what it means babbechamin. Rashi explains that it means that it was fully cooked, and that's what Tosfos says as well, that it was cooked called tzarchav, and the raya is from the example that the Gemara is going to give. But the Rashba says, no, we're talking about something that was only cooked to machal ben drusai, that even if it was only half cooked, to then cook it further on Shabbos is not a violation of bishul d'oraisa. That's a famous machlokas, Rashba and the Rambam. The Rambam disagrees. He says, even if you cook something to machal ben drusai before Shabbos, cooking it further to further edibility is a violation of bishul d'oraisa of bishul. But the Rashba learns, our Mishnah is telling us that no, it's not. There is this principle, vein bishul achar bishul. Once something is halachically cooked, even if it's not fully cooked, it's no longer subject to the issur of bishul. There is also a well-known machlokas rishonim. When we say in bishul achar bishul, is that only on solid foods? What if you cooked a liquid and then you want to recook the liquid on Shabbos? Do we say that too is not a violation of bishul d'oraisa? The smak, Rabin Yeruchim, the rush, the tour, all say this rule is about solid foods. If you recook a liquid, it's bishul d'oraisa. The Rambam, the Rashba, the Ran, all say that even by a davar lach, ain bishul achar bishul. Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you have a liquid that has been previously cooked and has cooled down, and you recook it, it's a violation of bishul d'oraisa. Says the Rama that some say it's not a violation of bishul d'oraisa, and therefore our practice is that as long as it's lone, it's stun in the gamri, as long as it hasn't fully cooled down, it still has some warmth to it, you're allowed to recook a liquid. It's only once it's nitzdan in the gamri that you're not allowed to recook the liquid, which Ramesha understands. Rama's trying to tell us that really, really, meikar adin ain bishalach or bishal even bedavar lach. But we're going to be machmir if the effects of the first bishul are totally not recognizable. They're totally gone. It's totally nitzdanein legamri. So says Gemara Kigon Mai. What would be an example of a food? We have to finish the Mishnah first. Shkol Shloba b'chan Erev Shabbos. Anything that has not been cooked on Erev Shabbos, Madichin also b'chan b'Shabbos. You can rinse in hot water on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to cook in a kli rishon. Except for certain types of food that are what we call kalei habishul, that are very easily cooked. If you rinse them in hot water, we assume it's going to cause bishul to happen. It's going to be a violation of bishul even to rinse those things that are kalei habishul, that are very easily cooked. Discussion rishon and what we mean by rinse them. Iroi kli rishon, iroi kli sheni, but whatever it is, it's not putting it in the kli rishon itself. So kagod mai, what's an example of something that was cooked before Shabbos and you're allowed to recook on Shabbos? Amrav Safra, kigon tarnagolta, the Rabbi Abba, like the tarnagolas of Rabbi Abba. Amrav Safra, zimna chad yikolos lahasam. One time I went to Rabbi Abba's house, va'ochlen minei, v'ilo Rabbi Abba da ashkian chamra, bartosa tarfi, itnasi. He fed me from this tarnagolas, the special dish he used to prepare, was his signature dish, and had it not been for the fact that he gave me wine that was a 3-year-old wine, I would have had to vomit the whole thing out. It was gross. Rabbi Yochanan, Rayik, Rabbi Yochanan used to have to spit even when he heard the name Kutach HaBavli. He thought the food was just absolutely terrible. It's like saying black jelly beans. He just had to spit. It was disgusting to him. So Rabbi Yosef, well, you know what? We spit when we hear the Tarnagolas of Rabbi Abba. So you think your dishes are our dishes are so terrible? The stuff you eat we think is gross. And not only that, that it's not true that Bnei Yisrael that Bnei Eretz Yisrael have a problem with Kutach HaBavli. Amar Abigaz, Zimna Chadi, Yikolas Lahasam. One time I went to Eretz Yisrael, Va'abdis Kutach HaBavli, and I made in Eretz Yisrael Kutach HaBavli. You're telling me it's so disgusting? Yeah, when I prepared it in Eretz Yisrael, Sholim Minei Kol Brichem Arava. All the Cholim in Eretz Yisrael wanted it from me because they wanted to, they thought it had such great therapeutic value. So don't tell me that people are grossed out by Kutach HaBavli. You just have to know how to prepare it. And if you prepare it like I prepare it, then all the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are gonna love it. So, okay. Kol shaloba b'chamin, anything that was not cooked already from Erev Shabbos, so then you're only allowed to be madiach b'chamin on Shabbos. And we said, except for certain things, kol yas haspanin, certain things that are kalei abishal. So, yidiach mai, let's say you did it on Shabbos. You actually took kalei abishal and you rinsed it in hot water on Shabbos. What's the din? So, Rav Yosef, yidiach haif chatas, bishal d'oraisa. What do you mean? What's the din? Amar b'reid ravina afananami tanina, chutz mim liach yashim kol yas haspanin, shadachasan, When you rinse it in hot water, that is cooking it, and therefore you're chayev chatas. Nothing to discuss. Says the Gemara, four questions about differences between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan was falling asleep in shir. So Rabbi says to Rabbi Yassi, now I have an opportunity, now that Rabbi Yochanan is sleeping, I have an opportunity to ask you a bunch of questions. Number one, why are the birds in Bavel so much fattier than the birds in Eretz Yisrael? You just don't know where to look in Eretz Yisrael. Come to Midbar Aza, I'll show you the fattiest birds in the world. Why are the Moadim in Bavel so much more joyous than the Moadim in Eretz Yisrael? It's because the people in Bavel are Aniyim. They never have Simcha any other time. So it's the contrast that a Moadim, they actually eat normal meals, so they're very joyous. Why do the Talmidei Chacham Shel Bavel wear such a nice lavush? They wear whatever, long coats. It's because they're not really Talmidei Chacham, so they have to distinguish themselves. They can't distinguish themselves with their Torah, so instead they distinguish themselves with their lavush. And finally, why are Ovdei Chachamim so smelly? It's because of their diet. So they suffer from all sorts of physical ailments because of their diet. So Itabu Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan wakes up and says, what are you guys talking about? Amalu Dardiki, children. Didn't I tell you? That you're only supposed to say something if you know it to be true, as clearly as you know that your sister is usher to you, and if you don't know, don't talk. So why are you giving these ridiculous answers? None of these answers are true. So Rabbi Yassi and Rabbi Chia said, Valei Milan Mare is a man. Why don't you give us your answers? So he says, I will. You want to know why the birds in Bavel are fattier? They never went into Golos. Shanemar, this is an Erev Tishba of coincidence. This is in the voice of Yirmiyahu. Shanan Mav Minu Ura Vishoke to El Shemarav Ubagola Lo Halach. That it's because it didn't go Mikli El Keli. It never was emptied out from one place to the other. So you see that Golos takes away the tam and the fatness of the birds. But the birds in Bavel never went into Golos. Meaning they never were exiled from their original location. How do you know that the birds of Eretz Yisrael had to go into Golos? The Tanya, Rabbi Yudomer, 52 years, no man walked in Yehuda. It was desolate. Shenemar alaharim esa b'chi v'nehi. Me'of ha-shamayim v'ad behema nadadu halachu. And behema, b'gematria, chamishim v'tartin havu. It's a gematria of 52, and that's how we know that it was 52 years. The Gemara Mesachas Megillah tells us it's 70 years. Golos Bavel was 70 years, but that begins with the count begins with Golos Yehoyakim, and from Golos Yehoyakim until Koresh, when they received Rishus to be Ola to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. But the Churban Yerushalayim in the days of Tzidkiyahu was 18 years after Golos Yehoyakim. So when the birds actually were forced out of Eretz Yisrael and they went into Golos, it's 18 years after the 70 years of Golos Bavel began, and that's why it's a total of 52 years. This seems like an appropriate place to stop for Tisha B'Av, just as we learn about the Jews going into Golos after the Churban Bayis Rishon, and Bez Hashem, tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on the Zoom, I'll have a different background, I'll be home, but we'll continue from Amar Rabbi Yaakov, where he explains the answers to the other three questions.